Good evening, church, and welcome to our study of Revelation. This is part 8. We're continuous. We're doing it online, and I didn't want to stop just because we can't meet together. I didn't want to stop doing the study of Revelations. I've had a really good time with this, so we're going to continue with this. This is part 8, and we will finish up the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. Just to catch everyone up real quick, John wrote down what was, which was seeing Jesus, the resurrected Savior, in all of His glory and all of His power. He wrote down what is, which was the 7 letters to the 7 churches. And then he wrote down what is to come. And that was the prophetic part of Revelation, the things that haven't happened yet. And so we talked about the rapture, when the church is taken away all at once. We're taken home to be with the Lord. And then John sees the throne room of God and all that transpires there, the 24 elders, the four beasts, and all the symbolism that had to do with that. We hear that the 7 seals on the scrolls, no one was worthy to be opening those, and John begins to weep until we see the Lamb of God, who is worthy to open the 7 seals and begin the judgment, the final plan of God. And then last week we talked about the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. And the first one was a white horse, and it represented the Antichrist. The second horse was red, and it was the horse of war. The third horse was black, and it was famine. And then the fourth horse was pale, and it was death, and hell followed shortly behind it. And so the first four seals were broken, and we're going to talk about the rest of chapter 6 right now. We'll start with the 5th seal. And Revelation chapter 6, 9 through 11 says, "When he opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slaughtered because of the word of God and the testimony they had given. And they cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, the one who is holy and true, how long until you judge those who live on the earth and avenge our blood?' So they were each given a white robe. So they were told to rest a little while longer until the number that would be complete of their fellow servants and their brothers and sisters who were going to be killed just as they had been." So verse 9 through 11 describes the breaking of the 5th seal, and we see a picture of the souls that had been martyred or killed during the tribulation period, and those saints were around the throne of God. See, at that time of the tribulation, there will be some who are saved. They will come to Christ. After the church is raptured, there will be some who are saved, who come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And during that tribulation, at some point, they will have to refuse the mark of the beast. And we'll talk about that later on in the book of Revelation. But they will have to refuse the mark of the beast. And if they refuse the mark of the beast, they will be killed. And so they've been killed by their enemy for 2 reasons. The Bible says they were killed because of their commitment to the word and because of their confession of their testimony, which is 2 things that we need to have in our lives today: the commitment to God's word and a confession of our testimony. And if we have these 2 things in our life, they will absolutely change everything about the way we live for Christ: our commitment to the word and our confession of the testimony. And then Revelation 6:10 contains an insight into the capabilities of a saint in heaven. Now, the saint is not an emotionless, thoughtless zombie. But we see that the saints here in the scripture have 3 characteristics that show how saints will be before they are reunited with their resurrected body. The first is they have feelings. They expressed anger and a desire for revenge against the ones who had them killed. So they had feelings. They had emotions. Second is they had recognition. They recognized their murderer. This indicates 2 important things: that the saints in heaven retain the ability to know people that they knew on earth, and they're aware of what's occurring on the earth. And we talk about sometimes that our loved ones are looking down upon us. This scripture tells us that's exactly how it is. They are aware of who they knew on earth. They're aware of what's going on the earth. And then the third thing is they could communicate. They had communication. They are seen talking to the Father. So these 3 things, the feelings, the recognition, the communication, these 3 things absolutely crush 2 very false doctrines that are prevalent in our society today. And the first is soul sleeping. If you ever heard of soul sleeping, this doctrine, which is popularized by a Jehovah's Witness. They teach that the believers enter a state of not knowing anything until the resurrection of the body. And note that these souls were without body, but they were fully aware of current events. Instead of soul sleeping, the believer's spirit automatically and instantaneously go to the side of God when they leave this earth. So it abolishes soul sleeping. It also destroys the idea of purgatory. Because purgatory is taught by some that it's a place where departed souls go to be purged or cleansed of sin and made fit for heaven. But the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And these saints, we see, had feelings, they had recognition, they had communication. So I don't believe in any way that there is any such thing as soul sleeping or purgatory, and the Bible is very clear about both of those teachings. So the fifth seal is broken, and then we see the sixth seal is open. Verse 12 through 17 says, "Then I saw him open the sixth seal, and a violent earthquake occurred. The sun turned back like sackcloth made of hair. The entire moon became like blood. The stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its unripe figs when shaken by a high wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and every island was moved from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the nobles, the generals, the rich, the powerful, and every slave and every free person hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who's seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.'" Keep that part right there in mind. Underline that. If you're going along the Bible with me, underline that part in that verse that says, "wrath of the Lamb." And it says, "Because the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" So we saw that the fifth seal is broken. Now the sixth seal has been removed, and the elements of nature respond in unbelievable force. Now, the Bible teaches us that nature is held together by Christ, and it is as though he allows everything to just fall apart all at once. Now, imagine a world, we're dealing with this virus situation right now, but imagine a worldwide disaster that is so bad that the mountains and the islands are completely knocked out of their place. Now, some seismologists, this is the scientists that deal with earthquakes and the measurement of earthquakes, suggest that particles of dust and hot ash that would rise from an extremely violent earthquake could diffuse the light of the sun during the day and make it appear to be black. And that same ash and that same dust at night would make the moon appear to be red, just as the Word of God states in this verse. And then verse 14 describes the heavens as a scroll that's been rolled together, meaning that even the patterns of the stars, and we use the patterns of the stars to measure different things, to tell directions on different things, and even the patterns of the stars will be rolled up and shaken and moved out of their place to where you can't even read the heavens. And verse 15 through 17 depicts one of the most terror-filled days that man will ever face. And there'll be three things that come from this particular disaster. The first is this: there will be an equality. Verse 15 says that slaves as well as kings are trying to hide from the mountains. No matter how sophisticated, no matter how modern you are, you'll be just the same off as a man who is hiding in a cave. Nobody that day will pull rank. Nobody will be better than the other person. There will be complete equality among those that are left here on earth. And it's interesting to note, and we need to take advantage of that today before these things actually take place, that men, regardless of class, today stand on equal level ground at the foot of the cross, which is what we just talked about this past Sunday. We will be talking about the next two Sundays. But everybody right now is on level ground at the foot of the cross. But then when everyone is taken out, at that time, everyone will be on level ground standing at the judgment of God. So there's an equality that happens in verse 15. And in verse 16 talks about a global prayer service. It describes mankind praying for death. Let the rocks fall on us and hide our face. The men that have never prayed before have never bent a knee to God. At this time, we'll bow down and pray for death to be hiding from, and look what it says, I told you to underline it, the wrath of the Lamb. Now, we don't associate wrath with anything to do with a lamb, but this is no ordinary lamb. This is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world, and there will be a global prayer service. And then he finishes with the third point, is there is an unalterable appointment. It is going to happen. Verse 17 says specifically that the great day of his wrath to come. I want you to know there is a definite day, a definite time when God will fulfill all of these promises. He said that day is appointed. It will come. Just like the rapture. Now, right now, none of these things have taken place. None of the things will take place until the rapture of the church. But there is an appointed time. There's an appointed time to die. Each man, when you're born, you have an appointed time to die. And then there is an appointed time for the rapture. When the church is taken away, we're taken out of this world to be with Jesus, snatched up. And there's also an appointed time where God will fulfill his wrath upon the earth. And believe me, if you want to stand on level ground, you want to stand on level ground at the foot of the cross. You do not want to wait and stand on level ground at the judgment of God. Now, we've just finished up chapter 6. And notice that chapter 6 finishes up, and we talked about the sixth seal, but we've not finished with the seven seals yet. And I want you to do something for me. I'm going to give you homework. Now, your kids, if you have kids, they have homework they have to do online. I'm going to ask you, and I know I can see you almost right now in your living room jumping for joy because you get to do homework as well. I want you to read the seventh chapter of Revelation before next week when we get together again. And I want to explain something about chapter 7. As you read it, I want you to keep this in mind because it's confusing. Chapter 7, and we're at the seventh seal in our study. Chapter 7 does not mention the seventh seal. Chapter 7 is what is known as a parenthetical chapter. It's something being told in the story that is just enhancing what is happening. It's talking about an overview of what is going on while everything else is taking place. An example, I could say Stephanie Peavy, my administrative assistant, is doing a fantastic job keeping everyone informed about what's going on here at Oasis Church. Now, the parenthetical part of that sentence is my administrative assistant. And I can take that part out. And it won't change the meaning. It won't change the context of the sentence. The sentence will still read without that part. Stephanie Peavy is doing a fantastic job keeping everyone here at Oasis Church informed about what we are doing. But that parenthetical part, the my administrative assistant, just brings some clarity to all of that sentence. It enhances that sentence. Just like that, chapter 7 is an enhancement of the rest of the story. You can take out chapter 7, and it will flow right from chapter 6 to chapter 8 and go right along the seals. But that seventh chapter tells a story of what is happening while all this other stuff is going on. And I want you to read it just that way. Read it knowing that it is just enhancing what else is happening. This is not in order. This does not take place right after the sixth seal. It is just a pause, and Jesus is telling John, write this down. This is what's happening during this period. So read chapter 7, and you'll have a heads up on next week. And next week we'll go through the entire chapter 7, and it is a really good chapter, some super interesting things, and it paints a clear picture of God's plan throughout all of the other judgments that are going on. And then we'll proceed right into chapter 8, and we'll get into the seventh seal, and then the next seven judgments, which are the seven trumpets. Again, thank you so much for joining me. We're trying to stay connected as best we can with the church, so thank you for joining me. While I'm broadcasting this, or any videos we do, please comment. I ask you to like and share it so we can get the word out. Tell all your friends, and if you have any questions, post them as well in the comments. Again, thank you so much for joining us this evening. God bless you, and may you have a good rest of the week.